Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. I am going to look at some efficiency stats for tight ends. I was actually digging into some stuff for my startup draft that's actually ongoing right now, and just had some quick thoughts, just some things that opened my eyes a little bit in terms of guys that I think are potential value considerations. First off, I would say Ian Thomas is like one of the worst tight end seasons of all time. 0.31 yards per route run is just horrific. 20 receptions, 145 yards receiving on 468 routes run. That is just horribly. That's, to give you an idea of guys that had 20 targets, he was the worst by over a half, almost a half a yard per route run. Like, it's just incredibly low. So he's a guy I don't really have much faith in going forward, just based on the total lack of production with a lot of opportunity. Drew Sample is another one, pretty low in terms of, we didn't have a huge hope for his production profile or anything coming out of college, but now he came into a decent opportunity, good pedigree, pretty lackluster in terms of production, 0.85 yards per route run. That's pretty bad. Chris Herndon's another one I see get touted around quite a bit. He's 0.88 again, so that's not good. A couple of the guys that are pretty interesting, like, there's some guys that are on the lower end here that I think are noteworthy names. Zach Ertz, very bad, 0.92, only 1% touchdown rate. Again, that's fluky year over year, but that's just a really bad performance there from Ertz. So there's some sign of decline in his profile. I think he gets himself cut, so he could basically put himself on a one-year track someplace else. Maybe it's just the situation's bad, but there has been some erosion in the stats, so I would just take that, you know, it's a caution. If he goes someplace else and it's a big boom candidate or whatnot, he's talked up or whatnot, Goddard was significantly better than him. So I just keep that in mind as sort of a thing. Cole Clement actually was better earlier on, 0.94 yards per route run. That's not particularly good. 2 touchdowns on 42 targets. So that's about in line. It's about 6%. Of targets turn into touchdowns, so that's about in line with right there. But the yards per round is a little, I thought he was kind of going on a better track than that. I think he's going to be a popular breakout candidate just because I think Jimmy Graham's going to be gone and there's going to be probably an opening there for him. But just keep in mind it's a low number. I got to figure out kind of what some of the stuff means for some of these younger guys too. That's going to be an off-season project, but just in terms of numbers there, I would just optimistic, but let's keep it tempered enthusiasm. Hayden Hurst was also pretty low down here. He had a ton of opportunity. He ran 528 routes, which is amongst the best in the league, and only 1.08 yards per route run. So it looks pretty, you know, it looks 56, 571, and 6, right? That looks decent. It actually turns into a tight end 9 season, but it's not all that good in terms of, right? He could have had much more in terms of, I mean, he had the opportunity to be like a tight end 3. So that would just be the caution there that I would have. I know there's actually been some talk that maybe, I didn't think this until I started looking at some of these stats and looked at some of these mock drafts. He's commonly, Kyle Pitts is actually pretty commonly mocked there. So that's one that kind of opened my eyes about Hayden Hurst. So he's a potential, if you can sort of get out of him, and he's going to be 28 next year too. So if you can sort of sell him high, people still think he's on the younger end just because of the contract stuff he's still on his rookie contract. But if you can sort of get out of him, I would probably do that. I did it for a bunch of seconds last year and didn't look back. So I'm not sure it's still there. But that'd be something I would look for sure. Couple more here. Dalton Schultz, it's pretty low level. I know Blake Jarwin actually signed a contract and got hurt. I still think there's opportunity there. Again, 63, 615, and 4. So he finishes his tight end 10. But again, it's pretty low level in terms of the efficiency stuff. So I think there's opportunity there for someone to come in as well. Dawson Knox actually was an uptick guy. He was really bad earlier on. He sort of settled in down the stretch. He had COVID too, so I'm not... you know, from a base rates perspective, it's a pretty low likelihood of him being a full-on breakout or anything like that. But he's basically a second half a season kind of producer. So that's kind of has been his MO to date. So that would just be a thing that I would be on the – maybe he's a potential – if John Brown walks, for example, if they cut him or, you know, that contract looks cuttable at this point. I think that that's a potential – buzz narrative thing about Dawson Knox, especially now that Josh Allen's good, that with Dawson Knox, I would just be, it hasn't been, like, it kind of looks better than it actually is, and he does some funky things on the field, and I was a bigger fan. I had more optimism coming into the season. I don't really have it as much going forward. Eric Ebron is kind of low as well, 1.18. He's right in line with touchdown rate too. So I think a lot of that too is the quarterback situation. Yeah, it just wasn't all that efficient. So I'm not necessarily going to bang on him in terms of some of the low efficiency stuff. Hunter Henry was actually lower than I expected in a contract year, 1.27, 1.23 for David Njoku. These guys are in the bottom half of the position at this point. And, you know, a lot of opportunity for Henry and hasn't really broken out yet. So I know he had some positive buzz in terms of he finishes his tight end 12. He had some positive buzz from, like, the Warren Sharp sphere of the fantasy football analysis or general football analysis, I guess, a couple years ago. And it just really hasn't happened for him. So I'll be interested to see. I think that $10 million thing in the market that was some of the stuff that was projected coming into this offseason or coming into the season for him, I'm not sure that's going to be there. And the fact that they tag him and didn't re-sign him gives me a little concern there, right? That maybe that they know something that we don't. And that's just a cautionary tale here with him. Evan Engram, 1% touchdown rate, 102 targets, only 1.28 yards per route run. Yeah, it's just a pretty inefficient season. Plenty of opportunity there to have been like a top three guy, but just didn't really work out for him. I'd be interested to see, maybe it's a change of scenery that would help him, but he's still on the younger end. I mean, he is tight end. He was tight end 14 last season. He'll be 27 next year. So he's still under contract, but it'll be the end of his, it'll be the fifth year of his rookie contract there as a first round guy. Irv Smith was actually a guy that was down lower in the season, has come on a little bit. Hey, heck, if they move on from Kyle Rudolph, like, maybe there's some growth opportunity for him. That's one I think is an interesting one to monitor if you can get him thrown in on deals or, you know, in the late teens or something of a startup draft. That would be an interesting spot there for him. And even it could be a situation where you don't even need to find out. You can just sell it at a profit, but that would be one to watch for. Gerald Everett's kind of in the middling range of the position. He's a guy that I think is going to draw some interest in free agency. So that's a notable thing there. Low touchdown rate. So it kind of holds down some of the fantasy production. So it keeps people kind of off him. That it was largely a low touchdown rate, only 2% there. Caught one touchdown pass on 59 targets. So, and again, the yards per route run, it's about, you know, it's about in line with, right about in the middle of the position there with the 1.45 yards per route run. That is, almost 0.2 better. It's 1.27 was the average for the tight ends. That was what basically a route was worth in terms of yardage for the tight end position as a whole this season. Dan Arnold on lower volume as well. He's up above average, 10% touchdown rate. So that's pretty good. Jonnu Smith was another one, benefited from touchdown rate, 13%. Again, it was 6% of targets were caught. So he basically doubled up. At 1.49. So again, he's above average. I would maybe be a little skeptical on it being a huge full breakout in terms of just some of the touchdown stuff. Again, he fell off, right? He was up at tight end like 2 at a point. Just some of the volume stuff is not quite there for him. And that's they kind of go about their offense a little bit differently. And maybe to be a full huge breakout guy, he's got to be, you know, closer to 1.8 yards per route run, something like that, just because I think the volume is going to be a little bit lower. So that'd just be a caution there with him. You know, he was above average and basically everything, and then his is outside the top 12 at tight end. So that would just be the caution there on that. A couple more guys. Hockenson here. He basically was, you know, basically 0.3 above average. So that's good. 6% touchdown rate. That's good. I still think there's room to grow. I like the player. But just comparing him to former teammate, Noah Fant, he is basically a 0.1 better than him in terms of yards per route run. So Hockenson ran more routes, had more opportunities in terms of targets, and had more touchdown, basically doubled him up in touchdown rates. So that's how you get that tight end 5 in comparison to tight end 11 there for Fant. So Fant's a guy I think is a buy low right now if he's not going to be up there at the position. I like basically all of the numbers for him. He's basically just a step down for being elite. And yeah, it's very good. Just the touchdown rate was low, and it could be bigger volume. Again, it was only 15 games. I think he got knocked out of another one too. So 89 targets, that's pretty good. I wonder if that's going to continuously be there though. That would be the thing. I would much rather bet Hockenson's 96 than Fant's 89 repeat, just because I think it's going to be tougher with Fant there. They might have a quarterback change. Heck, Detroit might too, but that would just be the thought. Him and Goddard look a lot alike too, so that would just be another thing. They kind of are very similar in terms of where they profile in the metrics. That would just be maybe a pivot play, right? Kind of have those three guys in a tier and sort of see where they fall. Again, Goddard didn't have, you know, only played 11 games this year, so that's kind of why he's down the board a little bit. One thing I found in my research is that year-end finish is really predictive in terms of overall finish. It's more predictive than points per game or anything like that. So when you do have a guy that kind of falls off in terms of points per game, there does create a value opportunity, right? Where they, you know, they post a 18 finish but on only 10 games, right? So the per game numbers are actually much better. There's actually an opportunity there because I think the market overweights the year-end finish in terms of what it predicts for next year's ADP. So Fant would be in that category of guys I think is potential value. Andrews, also up there, 2 yards per route run. He's a monster. It's just the volume's not that big. Only 350 routes run. You know, that's, and to give you an idea, with Andrews, that's on 14 games, he ran less routes than Fant ran in 11, right? So by almost a full game, if not two, right? So that is something I think needs to be a concern with his profile. The stats are great. The stats are fine, right? 88 targets. It's a really good rate. He's a focal part of the offense. But does he get to be a tight end 1? That's kind of the concern with him. If it was, you know, if he was, he's a basically a poor man's Kelsey. If he was in the Kansas City offense, could he have posted, you know, 1,310? Sure, right? I think then those numbers kind of line up with that. It's just he ran basically 220 less routes. So, and that correlates to basically 50 less, about 50 less targets, right? About 50 less receptions as well. So that's really the difference there between those guys. It's just the ultimate opportunity. So, and I wonder in Baltimore if it's going to be that, right? So he might fall into being one of those guys you feel really good about projecting like a top 6 finish, but it's maybe more in like the 4 to 6 range than it is really getting up into the elite. So Anthony Firkster is a guy that actually jumped off the page and was probably the reason why I wanted to do this podcast more than anything else. 50 targets, 39 receptions, 387 yards on only 232 routes, 1.67 yards per route run. So that puts him actually at 7th at the position for guys that qualify. And I just used 20 targets as being a qualifying guy. Everyone above him had that too. So I would just, like, he's a restricted free agent. If for some reason he hits free agency or someone matches or something like that, he's a name that in bright lights is really interesting to me. based on these numbers. So again, deeper down the line, you know, two tight ends, whatever, one with, you know, where people are taking a bunch because there's premiums and stuff like that. He's a name absolutely to monitor, a potential uptick guy. And heck, if you take him really, really late and no one's paying attention and he, you know, signs a couple year deals, just a couple years of a deal to stay in Tennessee behind Jonnu Smith, then, you know, maybe you can cut him or whatnot. But I think that there is actually opportunity. He's actually, that was actually pretty good. And it's kind of hidden by a low touchdown rate. So all of that, he's a guy that I think out of this podcast, he's one that I'm really taking with me in terms of like, huh, really opened my eyes in a good way. And the top guys, it's totally what you would expect, really. Kittle was the best in terms of yards per route run, just mashing 1.84. The problem is only played 8 games. Right, so that's really where the rub is with him. He's got to stay healthy. Finishes as tight end 19 in 8 games. So yeah, about 15 points per game there. So you like that quite a bit. He just needs to stay healthy. Kelce was actually third behind Richard Rodgers. Again, it was low volume, but Richard Rodgers was one of those guys from a base rate, density rate perspective. It was like 81%. And I was like, oh, this is just a classic example of like the numbers aren't that smart. So you got to factor in market data. He's actually pretty good. So it'd be interesting if Ertz walks and they still want to run some two tight end, right? I don't think it's actually an outrageous thing. 2.65 yards per route run, that smashes. So, again, it's low volume, didn't run a ton of routes, only 130 routes, but it was targeted 28 times on those routes. So, if Ertz is going to be out an extended period of time, or if Ertz is going to be cut, or Goddard's going to be out an extended period of time, something like that, and he finds himself some opportunity, he was very good. So, people might poo-poo him, he was probably overdrafted, all that stuff. He's actually pretty good, so that's a sneaky stash as well. Mo Alie-Cox is actually really good as well, and over two. So the guys that are over 2 yards per route run, Andrews was right at 2. Mo Alie-Cox was 2.07. Darren Waller, 2.27. Kelce, 2.49. 2.65 for Rodgers and 2.84 there for Kittle. So Higbee was also good, 1.62. So sort of in that Fant, Goddard range. Hockenson, he's sort of in that range as well. Gesicki. All of those guys sort of look together. Some notable tight end outliers, right? Tanyan scored a touchdown on 19% of his targets, which is just absolutely outrageous. 11 touchdowns. He finishes his tight end 4. That is just not going to happen again. Although I will say, if he's going to come back and play kind of a, you know, he's going to be the tight end 1, and we just project kind of a normal or maybe like a 10% touchdown rate, like he can still be borderline tight end 1 viable. So I will say, like, he was quote good, but also scored on a couple of busted plays, so you had that. But he was well above average in terms of, you know, productiveness from a route run basis. So that would be one thing. Other thing, I think I might have mentioned it before, I want to make sure I don't let him let this go, because this was another one of the big takeaways. I just want to make sure I hit it again. Logan Thomas is a clear sell for me. 1.1 yards per route run, ran just an outrageous number of routes with 611, which I believe is the most in the it's the most in the league by a large number. So you want to talk about just being absolutely volume fed, right? That's absolutely what happened, right? So just if he is a guy that is a clear cut sell. So I know that, you know, the numbers look decent when you sort of look at it from a, hey, 7 for 670 and 6, like, hey, that's not bad, like, you know, 72 catches, he's tight end 3. It is the clearest cut sell maybe in all of Dynasty. So all right, well, that'll do it for this episode, and I hope you enjoyed it. I'm getting more of these things. I've actually have signed a agreement with PFF to be able to use their data, so they will be my my advanced analytics provider of data. So really excited about that. I'll have some more specific shows, and, you know, as the off season goes on, I'm going to do specific research on a lot of these different metrics. I have to sort of finish the book before I get into a lot of the data dives and stuff, on, you know, incorporating them into a model and stuff like that. But yeah, that'll be probably a February project once my my actual day job opens up. It's going to be a perfect time for a lot of deep dive research. So stay tuned. You'll have plenty of that content, we'll see what we can find and see what signal we can find. And I think there's some stuff here because I'm really interested in it. And, you know, we'll see where we're at from there. So, all right, well, that'll do it. Until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we will talk again very soon.